The Winter Olympics may have concluded, but for some medal-winning athletes, the work to capitalize on their success at the Games is just beginning. Eight-time Olympic medalist speed skater Apollo Ono joins us now. Apollo, it's great to have you here with us. And it's so easy to think that there's a massive check that's taped to the back of an Olympic medal when that is actually not the case for every Olympic medalist and all of those who are participating. So how have athletes traditionally built financial stability after an Olympic win?
Well, thank you so much for kind of highlighting that. I think the transition from one identity, which is Olympic athlete, to what comes next is always a challenging one. There's typically not a long tail of financial success with really any Olympic athlete, with the exception of maybe one or two or three that you know of. I've been very blessed in my career to be able to have so much support and resources, but the 99% of Olympic athletes who go, even medal, perhaps not many winning gold, but even getting on the podium, don't reap the same amount of rewards. And so there is a significant amount of retooling that has to occur to use those attributes that got them to that Olympic path and then catalyze and create new ways in which they can sustain, find purpose, and really show up fully on a daily basis. I think the reality is many Olympic athletes find that there's nothing quite like competing at an Olympic Games. And so how do you create a new model or mental model of thinking in terms of reinventing and understanding that you're a baby in certain areas of your life, but you've been so progressive and so adaptable in the Olympic space. And now as you move towards this new area, it's going to require pouring out that cup of knowledge, reinvigorating this kind of natural curiosity for learning, and figuring out what really is going to drive you and motivate you while harnessing the power of those attributes that were built up as an Olympic athlete.
I want to come back to the mental of this all, too, because I think that's extremely important. And you actually write about it in your book, Hard Pivot. But briefly here, we got to discuss the broadcast, because the broadcast during the Games is the opportunity for many athletes like yourself to become household names. And we get to know the stories of those athletes, where you come from, how many medals you've won to the Games to a certain point as well, all the way up to the point thereafter that you were talking about and monetizing and capitalizing on that yourself, getting on Wheaties boxes, getting on covers of magazines. And so that household recognition is so key, but declining ratings, they impact partnership opportunities and potential earnings as well. And so what do you hope to see in the future with regard to some of the TV ratings, especially as it relates to Olympians being able to monetize their presence and their household name at that point?
With the evolution of technology, the way that we consume content, the personalization that we demand that's at our fingertips, the traditional stay at home, watch it on the big screen live is still a very special experience. But I think the reality is the next generation, the next 100 million consumers who are consuming content have so many different options. And so for us to be able to figure out how does the Olympics play a role in our society, from our community to the fundamental values that they can represent and exist, and how do we embrace those things in a way? And so there needs to be some strategy here around how do we get the next generation of viewers speak their language, meet them where they are, and deliver the content in the way that actually gets them to be onboarded. So you're absolutely right. The way that these consumption models have worked in the past are not going to be the same way moving forward. And so I think all of us have to reinvent what that looks like. Now, with the power and the social advent, athletes can then rebrand themselves using their own channels in the same way. And I think being able to monetize, show their personalities, align with brands in a more transparent, equitable fashion is much more interesting. But again, this is going to come down to how do we get more eyeballs to view these games? And how do we get more participants to view this as something that they deem to be important in our society? And so we are at a very interesting point in time where there's just thousands of distractions and opportunities that exist. And so where does the Olympics fit in that realm?
Certainly. Coming back to the mental health for athletes has been in focus over the Winter Games, the conditions, and especially during the Summer Games with Simone Biles championing awareness for mental health. In your book, Hard Pivot, you actually talk about the great divorce. What was the catalyst for your mindset shift following your Olympic career?
Well, my retirement from sport was 12 years ago, and it was by choice. But many athletes, it's by force, or they're aged out, or they get injured, or something happens. And at the snap of a finger, the 12 years or 15 years of conditioning that had taught you and nurtured you and told you that you were good and you were amazing and this is what you were put on earth for, all that kind of goes silent. And now you're trying to figure out, what am I good at? What am I passionate about? What's my purpose? Can I do anything else that can be even somewhat relevant to what I did in the past? And so athletes struggle with that. They struggle with what is required of them to go on and be on the world stage. I think, make no mistake though, we look to Olympic athletes because they can handle the pressure, because of their ability to manage through all that micro trauma and real trauma that they go through in life, either by force, by default, or by just by chance. And they still show up and they can show how strong they can be. So what's more important, in my opinion, is the redefining of what we believe a champion and strength to be. Can you be strong and resilient and have grit and all these things that we know are powerful, but also have gratitude, also be giving, also be kind, have vulnerability and show empathy towards others? So that holistic view is slowly starting to change. We're seeing it in the way that organizations and leaders lead their businesses, which I think is really important, but also not losing sight of that competitive spirit. Human beings are designed to adapt and overcome challenges. And when the pressure is on, that's when diamonds are made. And so we need to have this delicate balance of both. I had to go through my own reinvention. This book is really dedicated towards those who are seeking change, who are forced to have change, either by relationship, by career, whatever those types of challenges they're facing in their life, figuring out how to align with their true north, figuring out how they can contribute back to themselves, their family, and their loved ones in a ways that is not wasting those 86,400 seconds in a day, but instead is really meant to live them.
Certainly. Just lastly, while we have you, since you so well laid out the difficulties that so many Olympic athletes have to go through in training and then competing, and then even thereafter as well, in the transitions, Olympians amid a coronavirus pandemic, amid international conflict, some nations had even advised their athletes to leave as the situation internationally between Russia and Ukraine ramped up. That's a difficult decision to leave after years of training. You know, if you were in that position, what would you have done?
Well, I think most Olympic athletes have this unique ability to remain laser focused amidst chaos, right? We don't know what the outcome is going to be. We can't control that outcome. And so we focus much more on the process over the prize. Really critical piece here. We outline this a lot in the book, is focusing so much more on the things that we can control, right? As a blend of stoicism, so to speak, that I learned from my years as a short track speed skater, the idea is, how do we mechanically reverse engineer the end goal, right? So if I want to be here in 4 years and I can go backwards, what do I need to do on a week to week, month to month, day to day, hour by hour basis? And you're right. The world was like something we'd never experienced before the last 2 years. We were thrown unbelievable curveballs, and we had to adapt. We had to figure out how to move forward. Information, misinformation, disinformation, hard to believe. So having that laser-like focus, remaining committed to the path that we chose, that is the deep work. That is the lowest hanging fruit to achieve the most amount of success. And those smallest of compounding gains over time yield the greatest returns. And so, like sport, we take that into our life. Life is unpredictable. It's volatile. We don't know what's going to happen. But our ability to perceive and interact with those types of problems, turning them into challenges and then into opportunities, is within our control. So life is this incredible roller coaster. And I think we should move from being in the passenger seat over into that driver's seat, grab a hold of that steering wheel, realize that we can't control what comes at us through the windshield, but our ability to respond is within our control.
Apollo Ono, you know, I didn't expect this Wednesday wisdom to be coming from this conversation, but on the other hand, I kind of did, especially considering the notes from your book and being able to read through the background on there too. Apollo Ono, Olympic gold medalist and author of Hard Pivot and Personal Capital's Financial Hero, joining us today. Apollo, thanks so much for the time and the conversation.